Thank you for tuning in to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us at our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to a message inspired by God.
Standing on the promises of God. Well, at least it got the food down a little bit, and it was excellent food. And I did an extreme thing tonight. I ate a piece of delicious cake. That was good. Amen. You can't hear me? Yeah, that's okay. There we go. Thanks, guys. My wife says that all the time. Although she has selective hearing, so sometimes I'm very audible and she can't hear me. But it's good to see you. This has been a good run. Tonight we're going to finish up from the Word of God, and I hope that there's help and some encouragement tonight. And then Pastor Mike's going to come in next week and speak to us. And then Pastor Fry, and then I'm going to pick up after that, and we're going to continue. What I'm going to do tonight is open us up with a series for future weeks. And then another change that we're making is on the April the 5th, the Thursday night, I believe, we're going to be speaking April 4th, and then April 5th, we're going to have an open Bible study here, which it'll be Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. Things are kind of waning down for other things in the church, and we got through Memorial Day, and then we're going to continue and have the study. And we're going to continue the study with the book of Colossians. Now, I like doing books. It's interesting, not that people know it, but there's a lot of sermon preparation in different types. You have topical sermons, which sometimes in the Bible study, hopefully, this study that we're having, it won't be your same old, I went to a Bible study and then I went home and I didn't get anything out of that and ho-hum, fell asleep, didn't know what they were talking about. We're going to share together and using God's Word, find some answers. I've asked my friend Carl Prawl to join with me, because Carl's been with me about 35 years. Carl has a marvelous grip on the Scriptures, but he has a very compassionate heart that God has given him, and a discernment spirit, where if we're in a study and you're open to ask any question you want, you can say, you know what, I wonder what the Bible says about this, because I'm struggling with this. I guarantee you will not leave the room without a pile of Scriptures that is right from God's Word. It's exactly what God says. And you can walk away and find hope and encouragement. Maybe you know somebody else that needs that. It's not simple for just Christians alone. It's open for anybody that needs encouragement, that needs knowledge of the Word of God, that needs help and support. So I invite you. And if you don't like me, you don't have to come. But I like to have people that don't like me. Yeah, Sunday someone said they like me. I had friends. If you weren't here, yeah, somebody said you got friends that came here. And I was laughing and said, geez, I didn't know I still had friends. But I do. So all that to say this. This has been an exciting week for me. I have seen some real unusual things in my life. I've seen the power of God work in a mighty way. I've seen him do things that really were what I would maybe say impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I had a real unusual thing happen to me today, yesterday, and of course this weekend. And that was a gentleman called me up that I know, and he asked me on Saturday if I would pray for a fellow that we know together. His name is Pablo. Now, I know Pablo, and Pablo is an immigrant. And Pablo is a good man, a hardworking man. He has a wife and two kids, and he's a person of faith. But Pablo, I don't know, got tagged somewhere along the line, and he had went to Florida where the jobs are really booming, and he said he's working hours and hours a week, and he works in construction. And this friend that is here, this family, I should say, called me and said, would you pray for Pablo? I said, absolutely, that's what we do. You see, as Christians, we've got to be careful. You've got to be real careful, because I'm telling you right up front, it's not hard to get sucked into the political road. It really isn't that hard. And all of us have our views and our opinions and probably our thoughts that way. But I remind you that we are part of the kingdom. And the road in the kingdom is different than these other roads. If you get off the road, you're on the berm, and you can get yourself trapped in a snare where we forget something. That God loves all people. All people are his creation. Have they all fallen and caught up in, you know, sin when we're born? Yes. But Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And if the church ever loses our mission, if we ever think that we've arrived, then we'll quit seeing the power of God working in a marvelous way. So as a pastor, and I think as Christians, we have to find that kingdom road. When you are born again and you come to know Christ, he forgives you. And he gives you, puts you into his kingdom, and you're on his path, and you're his subjects. And so you live and act as a subject of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. Yeah, I know, it's not hard to have opinions. Easy, I should say. You can have them and you get led astray. But anyway, when I was asked if I would consider praying for him, I said, absolutely. What he said was, do you make house calls? Now, for those of you who have been in the faith a long time, there's certain terminology that tells you where somebody's at on the road. Do you make house calls? I said, yes, I do. I call on a lot of people in their homes. I pray with a lot of people. Would you pray for this man? I said, absolutely. I said, as a matter of fact, Sunday morning, Pastor Kay and I take trade off here and praying opening prayers. I said, I'm praying on Sunday morning, so I will pray on Sunday morning with the congregation. Now, I tell you tonight, those folks surprised me. They came to church on Sunday. And my friends were here. Ones I just realized are good friends. But here's the beauty of it. I got a call later on saying, the people in the church were absolutely wonderful to us. Now, one has a Methodist background, one has a Catholic background. They probably were kind of new to our way of worship and teaching, but the friendship and the love of this fellowship literally spoke to their hearts. You see, the reason for that is because we're not basing our religion on works, but on the Holy Spirit of God, who works through us, who says, you know what, God's no respecter of persons. All people deserve the privilege of prayer. And so what happened was, he did go today, but before that, he showed up at my house last night. I was trying to connect with him all day yesterday because I was asked to, but I couldn't connect. They had a lot of stuff to do, and they had to go to Cleveland. But last night, about 8 o'clock, he came to my house. He embraced me, and we shook hands. And I told him, I said, Pablo, I want you to know the that the church is praying for you. And Mary and I want to pray with you tonight. And he was so grateful. He explained to me the story. He said, my dad brought me here when I was 18. I've worked since the day I've been here. He never let me do anything without working. I had to work everything. And he says, in that time period, for all, he said, I'm 38 years old now, 20 years, I've never had anything bad. I've never had any criminal problem, nothing. And he says, now I'm going through this. And I prayed with him. He was so grateful. And the people, two other families, contacted me and said, thank you that your church and that you would lift him up in prayer. And I got a phone call about 4 o'clock this afternoon from Cleveland. And one of the ladies said, we just wanted to let you know that he went before the judge. And the judge established so that he could go to Florida where he lives and works and raises his kids. And he could go through the process to finalize his citizenship. And we just wanted to say thank you and let your church know that God still works. And guess what? Praise the Lord. That is the power of the cross of Jesus Christ that the pastor talked about Sunday. And so I wanted to share, and of course, now I'm really down to brevity. I wanted to share from the book of Colossians, because in the book of Colossians, the church was admonished to be the church. And the Apostle Paul, starting at Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to give you some of the background here so that you'll understand. The Apostle Paul is identified in the scripture. He calls himself an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and Timothy, our brother. He's already been judged because he's identifying that he is an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, which the apostles would not be apostles unless they had physically seen Jesus. But Paul, on the Damascus Road, was blinded and became a follower of Jesus Christ by the will of Jesus Christ and God the Father, and Timothy, his brother. So Paul now is identifying in this book that he is really an apostle, although you may not, by your standards, by your regulations, by your rules, by the way you are, you may not accept him, but he's saying, Jesus accepted me. My friends, I'm not Billy Graham, but let me tell you one thing that Billy Graham taught me. Jesus Christ will accept you. And he doesn't judge us by what we have, how important we are. He judges us by belief in him plus nothing. Not based on how many works I do, not what I can do or can't do physically. It's in the heart thing that he brings a change. And so the Apostle Paul identifies himself right away. That's the author. He is the apostle by the will of God. And he says to them, I want you to know, in chapter 2, verse 1, I want you to know that I'm struggling for you. In other words, I'm going through hard times for you. This is for you that I'm in prison. This is what I'm going through because I want you to remain faithful to Jesus. And in Colossians 1:24, he says, part of my work is to suffer for you, and I am glad. I'm glad to do it. You see, the church of Jesus Christ is worth fighting for. It's worth struggling for. It's worth caring for. There are people in this congregation, you have friends, you have loved ones, maybe even yourself included, that are going through something that you can't seem to overcome right now. And I want to tell you that the Apostle Paul says, wait a minute, the church is worth it because Jesus Christ can give you victory over everything you're dealing with, your friends are dealing with, your neighbors dealing with, things that are happening in our country. And in this particular book, we find that the Apostle Paul has done something that is interesting. Let's read for just a moment. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Now, think of your own relationship with your church. I said to you And I think I've got some background here with regards to the church. This is a great church. But this church isn't about this building. It's not about what we have. It's great because the Holy Spirit of God and the power of God is working through his people. And there's one thing in the church that I've mentioned to you before, but I'll say it again because it's worth saying. A church that has unity is powerful. If that unity is in the cross, as Pastor Fry said Sunday. You see, that's the one thing that keeps us in unity together, and it's the one thing that provides the church the power to bring the gospel and salvation to mankind. He says in the next verse, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. Do you know you're a saint? Yeah, no kidding. Actually, you know, the reality is, even though religions say other things, you're faithful workers, disciples of Christ. And Paul says, I thank God for you. And then he says, from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you all over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on behalf and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. Now, as we're looking down through just the introduction of this scripture, what is happening here is the church is being very faithful. But you have to understand, the Colossian church is not a big church. As a matter of fact, it wasn't really the kind of church that would be well known. It wouldn't be today's K church. It wouldn't even be seen on the map. It's not going to be the big box church. It's just a church of believers in a town that is full of corruption. And yet these people are keeping their faith. Verse 15 of Colossians, it says, he is the image of the invisible God. Paul's reminding them that the God you serve, Jesus Christ, is the invisible image of God himself. And he says in 1:16, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. Now, as we begin a study that's ahead of us in this book, as we start going through the book of the Colossians, there's a lot of encouragement and edifying of the believers in the faith. The reason that is because there is something that is coming against the church. You see, what we're talking about and what he was talking about, especially in 2:9, he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ over every power and authority. So what we're dealing with as we come into the presentation of this work, of this book, is the fact that they've been threatened. The church at Coloss is dealing with something that we deal with every day, although we've been blinded to it, but it's there. And that is this, false teachings and doctrines. As a matter of fact, as you read through this, you're going to find something as we grow in this book called Gnosticism. Gnosticism was prevalent, and it was real in that day. And Gnosticism was trying to tell people things that were not true. They were bringing down the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were bringing down the deity of God. In fact, they kind of believed that we were just like, I told Mary, I was trying to explain it, we were like embers that just came out of the fire and dropped on the earth, And all of a sudden, that's who we are. We weren't even, to them, created by God. In fact, there was another deity that was even higher than God. And in many different ways, they spread all kinds of false things around, even to the church, to try to get people to follow their weird beliefs. My friends, we live in a day and age when we have to stay focused to the cross. Because there's all kinds of false stuff going out there. It's going around. People have weird teachings all over the place about religion, not even Christianity necessarily, because that was denied, but they have weird things that they're trying to draw you and me and our children into. But let me tell you something. In 2005, we had a General Assembly in Indiana. It was there that a lady stood up. She was a minister. She spoke to the crowd of what we would call the General Assembly of the Church of the Nazarene. And she made a bold sermon and said, unless the church comes back to the cross, we're in serious trouble. Because once we move from the cross symbolizes so much to us. First of all, it's because of the cross that you and I have eternal life. It's because of the cross that we have forgiveness of our sins. It's because of the blood that was shed on the cross that we are cleansed from all unrighteousness and we're made whole. And if we lose track of the cross, and we don't bring our people and ourselves to the cross, we're going to follow some other persuasive teaching that is not the teaching of the gospel of Christ. Oh, we got it all over. You can't imagine. Put yourself in circles where you eat, where you stay with people. Listen to conversations. I love to do it. I love to do it. I told people I could listen to 5 conversations at once as a minister. Listen to them in the foyer. But don't go there. Go to your restaurant. Sit and listen to what people are trying to say that they believe. Some of the weirdest stuff you could ever imagine that would be taken away from the cross, from the gospel. We need to live by the cross. And the cross keeps us in the kingdom of God. It keeps us center and focused. And why does it do that? Because it reminds us that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, is supreme. It helps you when the devil comes along and tries to get you to doubt, tries to throw some weird doctrine to you. By the way, doctrine's good. We have to have doctrine. We believe in Jesus, the Christ. We believe that he's resurrected. We believe in the triune Godhead. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Doctrine's important. But false doctrine brings division. That's why I love unity. Because I've seen a lot of division. Now, I've seen Christians that wouldn't do a lot of things because of their opinions. Not because of the Scripture, because most of them that I know are not living by the Scripture. They're living by hype somewhere in a television program or a church or some weird church. You know, I got a flyer from JW's the other day. I know what they believe. You see, the truth is, it really does matter. When people start knocking doctrine, it does matter what you believe, because you won't behave until you believe, and you behave by what you believe. And we're told in this world, it's not what you believe, it's how you behave. You have to change your behavior. You know, bad things happen to good people. But guess what? It doesn't change for the good until I believe in the one who can redeem me from the sin of this world. So, Colossians comes along and we realize that all of a sudden God is supreme. Do you believe that tonight? I mean, have you ever thought about it? Do you really believe that he is supreme over everything else? Are there any other gods that are knocking on your door or trying to convince you that that is the way? Jesus said, no, no, I am the way and the truth and the life. And there's no way unto the Father except through me. So Christ's fullness and his deity in his cross is everything that we need for power and authority. Colossians 2:9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ over every power and authority. So, my friends, there is hope, because through Christ there is mighty power in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about power for gain. I'm not talking about power to have position. I'm not talking about power because you want to lead. I'm talking about the power that is spiritual power that overcomes the things of this world, the threats, the attacks, the hurts. I'm reminded that when I came to know the Lord, the scripture said, he put my sins in the sea of forgetfulness. You know where they're at? They're gone. No sense looking in the rearview mirror because they're not there. And you can't change them if you look in the rearview mirror. What you change is what Christ is doing inside you right now. And I'm convinced tonight that he has a plan for all of us. He has a purpose for us in redeeming us. We're not just some kind of stars that have fallen from the sky. We don't have to be taught about the doctrines of everything else. Once you believe, you got it. Someone told me years ago when I went to New Jersey, he was Tony Taffarella, and I've mentioned this to you before, but Tony was a Sicilian, and I think he had some friends in New York. But Tony said to me when he came, we drove up in our truck and unloading our furniture. Tony was 70-some years old. He was picking up a big TV like a giant piano. Unbelievable. He came out, and after we talked a while, he says, Pastor Dave, you got the goods. You know, that was encouraging, and I'll tell you why. When you have Christ, you got the goods. You got everything you need to survive in this world. And when the world comes against you and you're down and you're under pressure, guess who's not going to leave you nor forsake you? Jesus Christ. He'll be right there with you through it all. So I want to close with a word of prayer tonight. And I want to encourage you to follow up as we go into this book at Colossians, that you might see that there is hope, as Paul has given it to the church tonight. Hope in the future. Hope in tomorrow. I don't know about you, I got grandkids. Oh God, I pray every day. Keep your hand on them. Keep your hand on them, because that's the sneaky way that Gnosticism tries to come in. It tries to tell them, well, you know what? If you just follow this and follow that, and you believe this and you believe that, it's going to be great. And then all of a sudden it blows up on them, and their life is miserable, and they're depressed, and the devil's had a victory. But I pray that God's hand would keep upon them. And then I don't know how you feel about this, but I am touched more and more every day. I get the prayer requests from Mary. She sends them out faithfully. There are people in this church that are going through some real tough times. And I realize that that's part of the aging process. We go through some sickness. The body starts letting us down. But there are young people, too, that are going through real struggles in this world. So I would encourage you as a church to daily pray for the names, if you get them, pray for them, lift them up. God has the ability and the power to change us and to help us and encourage us. We can't do it on our own. It's only by the power and the blood of the cross. The cross. When we go through the cross and get to the other side, that's because Jesus paid the price for us. The hope that we have in eternal life. Would you join me in prayer tonight? Maybe there's somebody that you just have on your mind this evening, a thought. Maybe a loved one or a friend. I shared the opening testimony, certainly not to bring glory to me, but to God, to let you know that God's still on the throne. He's still hearing prayers, and he's still answering prayers in spite of us. He's still answering prayers. Father, tonight as we come into your house, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity to talk to you on behalf of one another. It's so good to be a part of the family of God tonight. And I find great joy and peace in their presence. But Lord, we pray tonight for others. It's not about us tonight, it's about others. We love you, Lord. But we know there are some, even right now at this hour, that are going through real difficult times. Some physical ailments, some spiritual ailments, some things that haven't even arrived yet, but they're going to face them. So we pray tonight that by your power and your might, because of the cross of Christ, that you'll reach out to them and that you'll bring a peace and an assurance that all is going to be well. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Now let's see, is that the shortest I've ever done? Oh, no. Oh, no, I got 10 more minutes. Let's go. Now, no, I wouldn't do that to you. Pastor Kay and I have been working on the brevity topic, so he's teaching me how to do brevity. I figured he's the elder, and he is the one that has mastered brevity. So brevity is good, right? So the next time we meet, you know, it's going to be a couple weeks, third week that we meet, I will speak on brevity. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. I have too much ADHD in me to shut up. So God bless you. Have a good night, okay?
You've been listening to Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the Red Brick Church in the Valley. For more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, please contact our church office at 419-861-9520 or visit us on our website, heritagechurchofgod.org. This has been a production of Heritage Outreach Ministries.